Our sermon today is based on the scripture, John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Thank you, God, our mother, for caring for and loving us, your children. On Mother's Day, it's only appropriate to take a look at one of the most significant mothers in the Bible, Jesus Christ's own mother, Mary. Remember last week we learned about Jesus' brothers and some of the questions and controversies surrounding them, that some believe Mary never had any other children after she had Jesus, that the ones who were called his brothers were in actuality his cousins. Today's scripture gives another reason for some to believe Mary had no other children. If she did, why did Jesus bequeath her to the disciple John's care as he was dying on the cross? Why didn't he leave her in the care of his half-siblings? Why did he command John to take Mary as his mother when apparently John's own mother was still alive? We'll address those questions some more in a bit, but I want to say that as stark and morbid as this scene is, it still warms my heart. Yes, it's hard to imagine the pain and agony Jesus was going through, all the blood and sweat and tears. But here is an endearing moment when, momentarily setting aside his torture, Jesus had the presence of mind and the tenderness of heart to think about his mother. He was well aware that a widow in that society was not going to have an easy life. And we are supposing here probably correctly that Joseph had probably already died. How could Jesus leave Mary on her own? Where would she go? What would she do? Knowing a bleak future awaited her, Jesus had a moment of clarity where he deliberately took action to provide for his mother. Even in a moment when Jesus could have concentrated on alleviating his own pain and enduring his own agony, he took time out, took strength and fading breath to think of someone else, his mother. Mary was going through pain and agony too. My heart goes out to mothers far and wide across all times and in all places who have ever had to watch their children die. That rock philosopher Dave Matthews puts it well: you should never have to watch as your only children are lowered in the ground, never have to bury your own babies. I want to write an Easter devotion focusing on Mary. I want to explore where she was and what she was doing during Holy Week. Did she attend the Palm Sunday parade? Did she wave her own palm, her heart swelling with motherly pride as Jesus went by on the little donkey? Did she perhaps prepare some of the food that was served at the Last Supper? Perhaps she baked the bread herself, thinking, "I remember how much Jesus loved my bread when he was growing up." Who told her Jesus had been arrested that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did she rush to the court the next day to try to find out what was going on? Was she there when her son, scourged and battered and wearing a crown of thorns, was presented to the people and Pilate asked, "Who do you want me to spare, this Jesus or that Barabbas?" Did it crush her heart to hear the people chanting, "Give us Barabbas"? Some of them undoubtedly were people whom Jesus had helped. Some of them must have been people to whom he had preached about God's coming kingdom. Did Mary try to stay incognito in the middle of the crowd? Was she afraid someone would turn and recognize her and say, "Hey, that's his mother," and then try to abuse or accuse her? Later, did she walk alongside or behind Jesus as he carried his cross up to Golgotha, the site of the crucifixion? Did she dare protest? "Why are you doing this to him? Why are you torturing my son?" It must have been surreal for her to stand at the foot of the cross and watch as Jesus slowly died. Was her mind a whirl with confusion and perhaps even anger? She must have thought back to the time when the angel Gabriel came and told her she would bear God's son. Gabriel said, "This son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But it is ending, and it's ending like this. And if Mary had known what eventually would happen to the son God wanted her to bear, would she have said yes? Mary might have remembered what she sang to her cousin Elizabeth, who proclaimed that Mary was indeed the mother of her Lord. The words came back to her, "Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." Blessed? Blessed? And maybe she gave a brief sympathetic thought for Elizabeth, who also lost her own beloved son in an inglorious, brutal manner. "You call this blessed?" So much ran through Mary's mind as she stood there watching Jesus, remembering him as a babe, remembering when she and Joseph took him to the temple and dedicated him to God, all these things she treasured in her heart. As she stood there, recalling the past 33 years, suddenly a centurion stabbed Jesus in the side with a sword. And surely she remembered Simeon's words right then. He met her in the temple, and he looked her in the eyes and said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary." She had never given much thought to his words. What, did he fancy himself some sort of prophet? What's he talking about, swords? Surely God had only great things in mind for Jesus. This was not supposed to happen. And then another memory sprang up. That time their family went to the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem, and they lost Jesus, and they spent 3 days looking for him, and they found him, of all places, in the temple, talking to the teachers, astounding and impressing them with his questions and answers and understanding. Mary remembered scolding him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And she remembered his answer, "Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" She had never really understood what he meant by that, but now. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. I wonder if that meant John led Mary away from the cross right then to spare her having to witness Jesus' last cruel moments. And again, we ask, why did Jesus bequeath her to John? If he had other siblings, didn't Jesus trust them to take care of their mother and care for her for the rest of her life? Apparently, he did not trust them. Remember that stark snippet of scripture from last week? "For not even his brothers believed in him." No, he didn't trust them to take care of Mary. They didn't believe in him. They had tried to stop him from going about his father's business. They had tried to tell him what to do and when to do it in direct opposition to God's plan. They'd even insinuated that he was out of his mind. Maybe they found Jesus a little bit embarrassing. Crucifixion was a cruel fixation reserved for the worst of criminals. They wouldn't want to claim a brother who had been executed as a criminal. What would that do to the family's reputation? Maybe if he had listened to them and come home with them like they wanted, this wouldn't have happened. Now that it had come to this, no longer would they have to make excuses for him or act like they condoned what he did and said. And so they weren't there at his crucifixion. But John was. He was the only male disciple there at the crucifixion. The others had fled in fear for their own lives. "Here is your mother," Jesus said to John, and surely his voice was hoarse as he spoke. Surely he struggled to breathe and enunciate the words. Surely it took something out of him to talk. But John heard him, and John understood him. John knew exactly what he had to do, exactly what Jesus wanted him to do. Some scholars believe Mary's sister mentioned in the passage was named Salome, and that she was John and James's mother, which meant that John and Jesus were cousins, that John was Mary's nephew. Well, of course, we can't know that for sure. What stands out to me is that Jesus knew who would be the best person to care for the most important person in his life. He had traveled and talked and taught with John. He knew John's character. The writer of this gospel always refers to himself as the beloved disciple. And that's why Jesus knew he could put his mother into his capable, caring hands. He was beloved by Jesus, and he loved Jesus in return. Really, there was no one better to give Mary to. "Here is your mother." It was a command, a mandate to perform a sacred duty, and it was a command John willingly and joyfully obeyed. It was quite similar to the command Jesus had given his disciples at the Last Supper, love one another as I have loved you, fiercely and fully and forever. John and Mary would reminisce together and commiserate. They would cry together that evening and wonder what was going to happen now that Jesus was dead. John would tell her about some of the other things Jesus had done as they went around preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. Mary would share the stories of his birth and childhood, especially that story of finding him in the temple and how he'd said to her, I must be about my Father's business. And suddenly, it would dawn on them both. They would share a moment of clarity. Yes, even on the cross, yes, Jesus was, as always and still, about his Father's business. What more could a mother want? Let us pray. Dear God, there are many mothers who have gone through or who are even now going through what Mary, Jesus' mother, went through, the loss of a child under horrific circumstances. Just as you did with Mary, send a spirit of comfort to all these breaking and broken hearts and give them assurance that your love is still powerful enough to heal us and lead us through any tragedy. Help us to be like Jesus, about our Father's business, and loving enough to care for all who have cared for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
She'll be saved.